Downloading 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are Stephen Scott,
hey,
Sean Preece,
hey,
and Tim Schwartz.
Hey.
Oh, hello, hello. Yes, welcome to Tech Talk. This is that technology show that everybody talks about and says, do you know what? It's not actually that bad. Right, hello, I am Stephen Scott. Sean Preece is here. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Stephen. Ringing endorsement. Not that bad. I'll take it.
Tim Schwartz is also here. Some faint praise for our show at last, even though it's from us.
Absolutely. We'll take whatever we can get. Hello, Stephen.
Yes, we have got lots to talk about this week. So many emails from you. Thank you so much for getting in touch, especially following last week's email from Nadia. Nadia got in touch to talk about the issue of using Dragon dictation. She's been having real problems with it. And I put some suggestions forward. Apparently I don't listen clearly enough. What kind of ridiculous statement is that? Well, we're going to get into some of the responses from you because you've been getting in touch in your droves. Also, lots of you with questions for us.
Nervous.
I don't know what to... Yeah, I'm nervous. I don't know what to think about that. But we shall see. We'll get into those emails as well. And of course, well, you know, it's been a week. Just over a week. Under a week. I have no idea. I cannot work out time anymore because I've barely slept since the announcement of Apple's new technology. Oh, I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. God, sound excited then.
Excuse me. I was excited. I was cleaning my kitchen up until the announcement on that day because I couldn't sit steady. So we're going to talk about that. And also, another piece of hardware just dropped this week from Amazon. So that's coming up on Tech Talk. So, let's talk about Apple, because, we don't normally talk about Apple, so it would seem appropriate. In fairness to our little show here, I think we haven't talked about Apple as much in the past couple of weeks because our audience drives us off into wonderful unknown areas at times. And we get to talk about a whole wide range of stuff. We talked about televisions in the past couple of weeks and lots more. We're going to have an email today, actually, all about white goods, appliances, and a really interesting story coming out of one of the emails this week that I cannot wait to hear and get your reactions on.
Will it upset Tim? Because he's just bought something that isn't accessible, we think.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, you bought that dishwasher, and like Stephen's inaccessible TV, I'm hoping it's inaccessible too. I like it when you lot are upset.
Well, thanks, Sean. Oh. Thanks so much.
Sorry. I meant to think that, not say it.
Thanks for that, Sean. Do you know, Tim, do you ever sometimes feel that, you know, it's like a team effort here? We're all together, all for one,
and all
one
for
Sean.
Each other, or whatever, himself. Well, anyway, I don't know if it'll upset Tim, although I think you should be returning that dishwasher quite soon, if I'm honest. But we'll talk about that in a minute. But let's talk about Apple first of all, because they brought out some new products. Who knew? Yes, some new kit came out from Apple. We saw three new iPhones and a new Apple Watch in two different sizes. And that was kind of it. I think we were all a bit surprised, weren't we? We were all expecting a lot more.
No. No, not at all. You were. Huh? Maybe an iPad. That could have got in, but no, it's always the iPhone. That's the star of the show. We got three of them, so, you know, you got what you wanted. But I think, actually, the Apple Watch stole it for me. I think that's the thing that people really were more interested in.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I was expecting maybe new iPads. I know a lot of people out there were talking about new Macs and could we see new AirPods and a mini HomePod. It's like, no, I agree with Sean. I didn't really expect all those extras. I could see those in maybe another event in another month or so. But iPhones, Apple Watch, that you know, that amount of announcement didn't really surprise me. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Apple Watch stole the show, which I was hoping it would. I knew it would. And I'm more excited now than I ever was.
Yeah, because you've been wanting a Series 4 watch, and you've got the Series 1 at the moment, Tim. And I know that that's the case. Sean, what one do you have? Just wondering.
Oh, you had to do it, didn't you? You had to say it. No, I haven't got one. I haven't seen the need for one. But this one with the two-speed performance boost, it actually seems like it could be usable now.
Yeah, so let's just summarise, because I know some people do listen to the show for the news. Heaven help them if that's the case.
Good luck.
Yeah, but you know, some people do listen because they want to find out what's going on, and they don't want to hear the geeky version, because the geeks get all excited about processor speeds and all of that stuff, like Sean. But you know, this stuff kind of is important, and let me try as best I can to summarize all of this. So they brought out three new iPhones. Let's talk about that first. They brought out the XS and the XS Max. Terrible names.
Yes.
These two, just I don't know where this Max thing came from all of a sudden, but and I worry now about what the next size of the new iPad will be, because it'll be like 100 inches.
Yes.
You know, huge iPad Max, you know, cinema screen.
There's the Apple TV for you. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But the new phones have come out, the XS and the XS Max are the flagship phones. They start at £1,000.
Wow.
No, it's just, it's unbelievable, the price of these things. And they brought out another phone, which a lot of us were waiting and thinking, right, surely that's not it. Surely they're not just going to bring out two phones that are, you know, top of the line. Well, they did then bring out another phone, which apparently they call, and this is what the reviews are saying, is the budget phone.
Yes.
Budget phone. Starts at £749. That, yeah, budget, yeah. Not quite sure whose budget, but certainly not mine. But this is coming out. It's the XR. And I have to say, I don't really know what the R stands for. You guys
ridiculous.
Got a clue? Ridiculous, yeah.
Well, it's only, they couldn't have called it the C because, you know, Roman numerals, XC, that would have been the iPhone 90, I think. So that wouldn't have worked. So they had to just pick R, I think, because it's not a Roman numeral.
Someone said it was just because it was the letter before S, which seemed a bit dull, if I'm honest. It's like we couldn't think of anything else, so we'll just stick R on it. I thought C would have made sense because, you know, that's what they've done before. They've gone for the 5C, then they stopped using after that, did they? Yeah, they did. They didn't use that.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
It's Apple, isn't it? Makes no sense.
But for
at all.
For our dear listener who might be wondering, what's the deal with this? Well, you've got the XR, you've got the XS or the XS, and you've got to get so careful with this. But essentially, what you have are two flagship phones, and you've got the XR, which is the one which is classed as budget. Difference being, key difference is the screen. On the XS and the XS Max, you get a OLED screen, which is OLED, and apparently that is, you know, I've seen a couple of phones, I think the Samsung S9's got it, the S8 as well, I think, and certainly the iPhone X had an OLED screen, which means it's much more vibrant, much brighter, the colours are sharper, it's all very lovely, and it's, you know, beautifully detailed. It's really built for taking great pictures, I guess, and viewing those pictures and watching like 4K TV, Netflix, all that, and it's all great for all that stuff, and if you've got some vision, then I think this is definitely something you would want to consider because it is the best screen you will get. However, if you don't have much vision, but you do want to experience all the wonderful style and everything that comes with it, because, you know, I have to say this is going to shock people. Blind people do like to be a bit fashionable from time to time. Not any of us, I might say.
I was going to say, not in this room.
Not here, but other blind people do. And that's where they might want to have something that's a bit more fashionable, but without the price tag, or at least without all the too much of the fancy stuff they won't use. And that's where the XR comes in. It doesn't have an OLED screen, it has an LCD screen, which is kind of like the one that's on the iPhone 8 and the iPhone 8 Plus at the moment. It's a decent phone, and in terms of features, it's kind of, I mean, it's very hard to tear the XR and the XS and the XS Max apart other than style of screen and screen size. And just on that point, I'll just say this, that the XS is the size of an iPhone 7 or an iPhone 8. And in terms of size of the bigger one, the iPhone XS Max, that's about the size of an iPhone 7 or 8 Plus. However, the XR kind of sits between the two. So it's a bit bigger than the iPhone 7, bit smaller than the 7 Plus. and 8 and 8 Plus. So if you can get that in your head, that's the sizes, and that's really it, isn't it? I mean, there's not much else to say.
It was surprising that the Max and the XS didn't have any other differences other than the screen size. Usually the Plus has some extra features, but in this time, the Max is just that. It's just a different, it's a bigger size, as far as I know.
Well, there are a few, I mean, what I consider minor differences, only because for me, it doesn't really mean that much. But between the XS and the XS Max to the XR, there is a difference not only just in the OLED screen and the size. I believe there is more camera. It's a dual camera, I believe, for those, where it's a single camera for the XR. It's also the material. So the XS and the XS Max are a surgical grade steel, stainless steel, as opposed to the XR, which is aluminum, which we've been used to all along. There's a gold trim that's around the XS and the XS Max. And that's about it. So camera, screen size, screen type, and the type of material. And that's really it as far as I've ever been able to tell. It's got the same processor, same graphics, same everything else, quite honestly. I don't know why you would spend the extra money unless you want that extra camera. You know, that if you're a photographer, you've got some vision, you want that, you know, better camera. Or like you said, Stephen, you want the OLED screen. Otherwise, yeah, the XR isn't all that much different, quite honestly.
Well, I am going to admit something here. I have already pre-ordered something.
Fake shock. Ooh. Really? Wow.
So surprising.
It's not a huge surprise, is it? So I've already ordered something. I'm going to let you guys decide what I've bought, right? But I want you, you've got three choices here. So you've got to pick the phone, you've got to pick the colour, and you've got to pick the storage of the phone. I want you to try and figure it out between you. So go on then, hurry up. Can someone start a clock?
Okay, all right, okay. Well, you can only pre-order the XS and the XS Max at the minute. The XR doesn't come out till October.
Correct.
Now, before I would have said the Max because you were relying on using your eyes. But I'm going to say those days are over and you ordered an XS. Tim, what's the colour?
I'm going to say that it is the, what do they call it now, the space grey or space, you know, space grey colour. Yeah. But I'm going to say it's the Max. I'm going to say that my initial gut reaction was the same as you, that he's going to try to just use voiceover, no screen. But we know Stephen, he doesn't enjoy change too much. So I'm going to say he's going to the Max.
And what about storage?
512.
Wow. No, smallest possible because everyone streams now, 64.
Oh, wow, right.
Yeah, I agree with that. Smallest one, 64.
Wow, right. Okay, well, I'm going to tell you that, right, we need to get that sound effect when you get something right. So you guys said, you kind of differed on that. I'm going to say that Sean got it right, and the phone, I went for the iPhone XS, not the Max.
Yes. Good, makes sense.
Tim, you got it bang on with the colour, space grey.
Very nice.
And Tim, you were so nearly right with the storage. Yay. I got the 512.
Wow. Never doubt yourself, Tim.
Yeah. Oh, I should have kept it at that. Wow.
Now that's the big one. Why 512?
I don't know. I just did. I kind of, you know that. Well,
okay,
you know,
it's fair, like, enough. As long as you thought
why
about
not?
It.
Yeah. Well, so I got it in a contract and I did it deliberately because my contract was up. I was looking for a new phone and I thought, I called up my provider on the day of pre-order. I said, what are you going to do for me? And they gave me an amazing deal, which actually saved me money. And I got that phone. And I thought, why not? Why wouldn't you do that? So I'm quite happy. And I think a lot of people will do it that way. I can't imagine with the price of these phones. I looked up, the one I'm getting is £1,350. £1,350. It's like, wow. Seriously? So that's what I've got. And I can't wait to tell you guys about it. I didn't wait for the XR. Because I thought, if I'm going to upgrade now, and I've got a little bit of vision, I think maybe the brighter screen, if I do use the screen, is probably a better option. I find screens very dull with LCD, and I'm hoping that this will be vibrant enough when I need it. I use my screen on and off and on and off. A lot of the time at the moment it's off. When I do emails, when I do any kind of basic stuff on the phone, I tend to not use the screen. But if I want to watch Netflix, I want the option. Plus, I do want a smaller phone. But I think it comes back to that thing about the XR. Is the XR the new blind phone? Or are a lot of blind people saying, stuff it, I'll just get an iPhone 8 because there's nothing wrong with it?
Well, the incremental differences between an 8 and a 10R, say, are really not that big. So, yeah, I was thinking about that a lot over the weekend, the last several days, that as much as I want the 10R and I may get the 10R, I may also, when I go in and look at them, take a look at getting an 8 maybe instead, save a little bit of money. Also, they do now have, at least here in the States, I don't know if it's in the UK or not, but they are buying back your old devices now, and I've already looked to see how much my iPhone 7 is worth, and so that will make a big difference. So yeah, I'm wanting the 10R. I'm leaning towards the 10R. But yeah, I may look at the 8 as well. I'm not really sure.
And you know what? I'm not going to get any. There was just nothing there that made me think, I need to get this. No killer feature, even though they were the S cycle. They were really clever. By doing the XS and the XS Max first and then saying, you know what, we want to get this sort of technology to as many people as we can. Here's the XR. They almost billed it as the, you know, this is a cheap phone. Everyone can get their hands on this. When in fact, £750 is, you know, that's a lot of money. That's even more than the standard phones were anyway. But the way they presented it was really clever. Even with the XR, if someone was going to get on this new generation of iPhone, I think the XR is probably the best one to get on. You don't lose any Yep. features apart from 3D touch. The optical zoom feature, yeah, who cares?
That's a good point, though, actually. I forgot to mention that. 3D touch, that's a really... a lot of people do like 3D touch, but if you don't, then, well, the 10R is the option.
Yeah. Definitely. It's the cheapest way to get on. But yeah. With all that being said, look, an A12, the new chip that they use, the performance is going to be amazing. But my 6S, my lowly 6S, the performance is fine. I don't notice any lag on anything. I'm quite happy with it. I'm happy to sit out this one and wait for next year.
Well, look, we've got so much to get through in this hour, and I'm conscious that we're also in the midst of the new upgrade starting as well. iOS 12, which is the new operating system from Apple, just launched yesterday, on Monday there. So that is brilliant, but we can't really talk too much about it because we haven't seen it yet. I do know from my own point of view that my iPhone 6 Plus has been so much quicker with it. So much quicker.
Yeah.
So we shall, we'll see how that replicates across the other devices because that was beta mode. Let's talk quickly about the iPhone. Sorry, the Apple Watch, I should say, because the Apple Watch came out Series 4. Essentially, it's the same. I mean, obviously, it's more powerful. You mentioned two times the power or processing power, Sean. But, you know, the device itself is not hugely different in terms of size and style. What they've done instead of increasing the physical size of the watch to accommodate a larger screen, they've just basically shaved the bezel away. So you do get a bigger screen on it, marginally.
2 millimetres, makes all the difference.
A couple of millimetres, that's all you're getting. it does sound quite good. The one feature that kind of stood out for me, actually two, and I know, Tim, you felt this way as well, was the heart rate detection. It used to be just high heart rate it would detect. It's going to also do low heart rate detection, and it'll be able to tell... And give you an ECG, which is just incredible, quite frankly. And the other one, just to say, is fall detection, which, you know, is one of those kind of things you would imagine to be on a phone for someone, you know, those kind of specialist kits you buy, you know, for your family. Sometimes you've got maybe an elderly relative and you want to make sure they're, you know, all right, and
that's
you get
right.
something.
Wearable panic buttons, things
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. You know, all that stuff that you would buy for them, but you would never really think about for yourself. Well, it's now built into the Apple Watch. So if you fall over, this will detect that, and it will, if it doesn't hear from you or respond to a message saying, are you all right, and you don't respond, then it will contact people for you. So that sounds like a really good mix of features. I know, Tim, you're quite excited by this watch.
I am very excited by this watch because, yes, between already being able to detect high heart rates, which, as you guys know, has actually been helpful for me in recent weeks. And now, like you said, being able to detect low heart rates, irregular heart rates with ECG, and the fall detection, which all three of us know, Sean, you most of all, the fall detection, I think, is your killer feature, if there was any. I think these are really great additions to the watch. It is thinner than the Series 3 was, so it is a little bit thinner. And they did extend extend the screen size by getting rid of the bezels. They've rounded the bezels a little bit, so it's still a square-ish watch. So thankfully, your old bands will work. But the screen itself, where the bezels were, it's a little bit more rounded. So, you know, in the center of it, it might seem a little more rounded. But yeah, otherwise, physically, there's nothing really different about the Series 4 watch, but it's all the internal workings are much better, much faster, of course, as you would expect. A lot of the rest of the additions outside of these things are going to come with watchOS 5, where you're going to have now a walkie-talkie feature. So you won't just be able to make phone calls and text, but you can actually use a walkie-talkie now. That kind of a mode. You will have access to the new Siri shortcuts that they brought out with iOS 12. That'll be available on watchOS 5. You'll be able to access some links and get some web content on your watch with for VoiceOver. That, I think, is fantastic. People may not want to visually look at a lot of web content, but I think using VoiceOver, that's going to be fantastic because you can have it read all day long on getting web content. So a lot of things there. So I think coupled with watchOS 5 and these new health features, they also have some other activity features as far as health processing and detection of your exercise and things like that. So yeah, I think this is finally rounding into the watch that we all have been waiting for and expecting. And yeah, I'm definitely on board with this one.
Yeah, me too. It's all about the performance for me. I don't want to wait and get annoyed waiting for apps to load up. And it seemed to be that was the case with the previous generations. I think this is the first one where it would actually do what people expect it to do. Breaking news, though, as far as I know, the ECG feature isn't available outside the USA. It hasn't passed any of the standards needed, so we will not see it in the UK. If you look on the Apple website, it does not mention it in the UK. So who knows when that's going to come through or even if it will come through. It may have changed by the time you actually listen to this. I don't know, but currently that's the case.
Yeah, and even in the US, it's not going to come out for at least a couple more months because they do have to implement the app later on. So the technology is there, but the app is not. But it has been FDA approved here in the States. And yeah, my understanding is they are working diligently on getting the proper, similar health approval in other countries as with the FDA in the States. So it will probably roll out. It's just a matter of time after they get that actual government or, legislative approval.
I've got to tell you guys, right, and I'm going to admit something to you that I wouldn't admit to anybody else. I'm a bit of an idiot.
Wow, fake shock again. Ooh, really? Okay.
Well, so I stopped using my Apple Watch for a long time. And you might remember I said I stopped using it. And I recently got it back out of the drawer. I then lost it, but I found it again. That's what we do. That's what our blind people, we lose things a lot. Anyway, I found it again, and I've been using it probably now for about a month. And I kind of got a new appreciation for it because I turned on screen curtain. And by doing that, essentially by turning the watch face off, I've actually got more out of the watch. Clearly what I've been trying to do before is see it and look at it and think, oh, I can't really read that. And then not getting much benefit out of it at all.
Yeah.
By getting the screen curtain on, I've actually started using it for dictating texts, for reading messages, looking at emails, as far as it will take me. And for that reason, I was really excited about the Apple Watch Series 4. And for that reason, I've pre-ordered one of those as well. Hard life,
yay,
isn't it?
Wow, you kept that secret.
Yeah, so I'm so excited about it. So it starts at £400 for the, hang on a minute, what is that? The 38mm or 40, whatever the size is, the smaller
the
one.
40mm.
Yeah, and that's the one with GPS. So only GPS, no cellular, meaning it doesn't have a SIM card in it. And if you want the larger one, the slightly larger screen, you get it 429. In other words, if you've got a bit of a larger arm.
Beefy wrist, yes.
Yes, then that becomes quite useful. So that's what I've ordered. And and it goes up beyond that if you want the cellular one. But it only is available in this country. You can only use the cellular one. This is important to know. You can only use it on networks EE and Vodafone. The other networks do not support it at the moment. So if you were looking to buy a cellular one thinking, oh, I'll just get it and I'll add it to my... You can't. It will not work on other networks. So that's important to know.
Can I quickly just ask as well, what's the difference? I mean, apart from just one being Wi-Fi only, one being cellular, is it that you can just make calls independently and send texts on the cellular one? And is that it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, totally independent from your iPhone.
Okay.
There you go. Right, okay. Listen, just a quick bit of this.
News from the internet.
Just a quick thing I spotted this week that I wanted to bring to you. Just for a minute, I wanted to tell you that Amazon have brought out a new Fire tablet, the Fire HD 8. There's nothing much different about it, apart from the battery life is 2 hours less.
Bonus.
So that seems fantastic. Brilliant job. Same price, though, so bargain.
That is the only difference. Really? Okay,
we're being
slightly glib about it, because the reason it's 2 hours less is because the hands-free Lady A feature. On the previous model, you have to have...
That does not sound right. I think you really reconsider that phrasing.
That's what it's called. So immature.
The hands-free Lady A feature. Come on. But yes, I know what you mean. So that feature. Do go on, please.
Thank you.
Hurry up.
You can only speak to it. It'll only hear you when it's plugged into charge or if it's unlocked. With this one, it doesn't matter. You know, it will always listen out for that wake word. But obviously that drains the battery, so you got 2 hours less. That's the only difference. All the performance, the screen, everything is exactly the same, apart from you got this hardwired, always listening Lady A.
Okay. Well, it's out, and apparently, I think it's due out on October 4th, I think is what I read on Amazon. So October 4th, and you can also buy for an additional, I think it'd be £40 or so, you can get the Show Dock, which essentially makes it an Echo Show, which is £200. And yet you can get this thing, I think it's 110 all in. You can get the deal. It's just a bit bizarre, to be honest. They must not be selling enough docks or shows, I should say. But the Show Dock, which is basically a way of charging up your device, but also kind of putting it in a way that lets it sit on your mantelpiece like a photo frame, but you can talk to this particular photo frame. People will not think you're mad. But, you know, that's essentially it, really. It's a nice feature. It really is. But that software is in a lot of the existing Fire HD. So if you've got a Fire HD 8 or 10, you'll get a lot of those features. But like Sean says, it's the always-on part that's the problem, and that is what kills the battery. But with the dock, it's always plugged in, so I guess it wins that way. Right, okay, I think it's time for this, guys.
Email, we get email, we get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
And back with us this week, it's Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hello again. Can't get away from the place.
Oh, I know that feeling, Chris. Believe you me.
Right. Let's get into the emails. We've got a lot of emails in following last week's email from Nadia, who asked us about her thoughts on Dragon dictation software.
Absolutely. Strap in. As Stephen says, there is a lot. But let's hear from Nadia first. She says, "Hi, guys. I just heard you read out my email, so thanks for doing that. My hopes weren't high that you'd have a solution, but it seemed worth a try. Firstly, I am trained in the use of Dragon. I've been using it for several years now, and I've written 3 novels using it. The problem isn't so much that it doesn't hear me, although that is sometimes an issue, which I suspect is more due to my headset than anything else. The problem is when it mixes up words like through, to, there, where, etc., etc. As anyone who paid attention in English class knows, these words have different spellings depending on what you're trying to say, but they are pronounced the same regardless. I take 10 points about people using it at work, but I would point out that there is a difference between writing a document for work and a novel that is several hundred pages long. If I added up all the hours I've had to spend searching for there and where, and that includes both spellings of each word, I probably could have used that time to write half my next book. Dragon may be the best out there, but that doesn't mean it's brilliant. In fairness, you could be right about the version. Mine is an old one, and maybe the later versions are better. But they are all compatible with Windows 10 as far as I know, and my laptop is Windows 8.1. To buy a new version of Dragon, I would first need to have a Windows 10 laptop and a new version of JAWS, which, given the price, I'm reluctant to do unless I have to. I can't afford a Braille display either, or maybe I should say I can't justify buying a Braille display. I have the money, but I need it for other things. I did try declaring I'll never write again, but my creative side has other ideas. So I suppose that means Dragon and I are stuck with each other. Thanks for trying to help anyway. Nadia."
Oh, it's a shame because, you know, I mean, that's the thing. You don't want to give up what you're doing, but then, I mean, how much money would you have to spend, Nadia? to get yourself up to date with all of the new laptop and the new JAWS license and the Braille display. I mean, are you planning to remortgage your house?
Well, look, that's what I think we were saying. The Dragon is, I think, the best option. And I would have thought this contextual algorithm that decides, you know, whether it's there, T-H-E-R-E, or there, T-H-E-I-R, I would have thought that would have got so much better now. The grammar recognition and speech, not speech, spelling recognition, all that software has come along leaps and bounds. So depending how old your version of Dragon is, I would hope, and I don't know, but I would hope that contextual meaning would have got better.
Right. We have got a lot of responses to this one. Chris, let's start going through those.
Yeah, well, let's start with Julian, who says, "Hello, chaps. I do not want to put words into Nadia's mouth, and hopefully she will come back to you herself, as she did, so you can ignore this email," which we won't. "But I think you missed her point regarding Dragon naturally speaking. Did I not hear the magic word context? From that, I assume that she was referring to words like there and there, or here and here, or paw and poor. If that is the case, it does not matter how clearly she speaks because they all sound the same. What she needs is a program intelligent enough to understand the context of a word within a sentence or paragraph. I doubt any search program exists, at least outside an artificial intelligence research laboratory. Perhaps not even there. Well, Skynet could do it, but it's too busy plotting Brexit to bother with little things like this. Regards from Julian."
Well done, Julian. Well done.
Yeah.
No, I'm surprised by this with Dragon naturally speaking, and it could be that it's just an older version, like she said, because, I mean, as poor as Siri is traditionally, Siri still gets the contextual meanings of things when I dictate. So, you know, I do have sometimes some trouble with it understanding the phrasing or, you know, a certain word, but the contextual things there and there, things like that, even Siri does a pretty good job with that, quite honestly. So I'm surprised that Dragon isn't for her in this case. So yeah, it could just be the version maybe, but yeah, I don't know. But yeah, well done, Julian. I'm picking up on that.
Yeah, well, there's even more. So as I say, strap in. This one's from Sue, who very kindly says, "You might need to have Chris at the ready." Well, I am, Sue, right here
for
you.
Thank goodness
for that. She said, "This could be a long one." "I understand where Nadia is coming from with Dragon, but there are a few things to try. I'm assuming Nadia is using Word for her editing. If so, Word has a built-in spelling and grammar checker. F7 will do the business. You get the incorrect word and then a list of possible corrections. Tabbing around the dialogue box will be self-explanatory. You can check highlighted sections of text or the whole document. Another thing to note is that Word doesn't like very big documents, so I suggest saving each chapter or section as a separate file whilst working on it. A lot less pain if something goes wrong. I use Supernova Screen Reader and it has built-in spell and grammar check, which works as you type, and you can also set it to give you spelling and grammar errors whilst editing. It doesn't correct, but when you find a spelling error, you can press the application key for a choice of suggested corrections. Press enter on the one you want to change the errant word. I'm sure JAWS will have a similar function. And, as they say, now for something completely different. I have just had Bosch Home Connect oven fitted with a couple of carefully placed lock dots to let me know where the on-off remote buttons are. I can now use all the basic oven functions. I have my Home Connect app linked to my Lady A, and I just say, Lady A, start Home Connect oven, and I can then say something like top and bottom heat for 45 minutes at 180 degrees, and hey presto, I am cooking.
Wow.
I can then ask, you know who, when my food will be ready, and I am told how much cooking time is left. The Lady A Home Connect and the app called IFTTT, If This Then That, will allow you to set up other functions. This I am working on. You just say, Lady A, trigger Home Connect oven too, and then the function you want, and off it will go. It's going to take some time to set up all these shortcuts, but then the oven will be really easy to use. I hope this is of some help. That's from Sue.
Wow.
Sue is my new hero, tinkering with IFFTTTTT. That, I mean, it's perfect. Yeah, fantastic. I would love to hear some audio of that going.
Yeah, Sue, please, if you can get your if you can do that, you can work out how to sit, record a voice memo. But yeah, please, you know, send us a bit of audio of that, because we'd like to hear it working. Tim, I know you've recently bought something by Bosch. Are you all right over there?
How are you feeling, Tim?
I'm doing well, I guess, I think. my Bosch dishwasher, like I said, I don't believe is going to work with this Home Connect app, but we shall see. It's not been delivered yet, so we're still waiting.
Cancel.
Send it back.
Yeah, I may cancel it and make sure we've got one that is connectable. But no, this is brilliant. I love that this connectivity is available, especially with the Home Connect app. And If This Then That is a fantastic app. It takes a little bit of time to get used to and learn how to create, you know, the different shortcuts and things. But yeah, that sounds fantastic. I'm really excited about setting this up and being able to connect it to the different Bosch appliances. So yeah, that's really great.
We once had a sofa delivered and we didn't want it. So what we said was, right, what we'll do is we'll just pretend we're not in. So we did. And then they didn't deliver it. So that's what you could do.
There you go. Yeah, sounds like
don't
a plan.
Corrupt him. What did you hide behind if you didn't have a sofa?
A good question, yeah. Garden chairs, I think it was at the time.
Wait a minute, Sean. Don't corrupt him. I think you guys have already gone way beyond the pale on corrupting me.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. Right, there is more on this. Oh, Chris,
there's so much more. So much more. Okay, from Greg, who's in Pennsylvania, who says, hello, Tech Talk.
Hello.
For Nadia and John asking about dictation, I just wanted to point out the need for another piece of software in the mix to make dictation software and the screen reader software to work together, which may solve the problems encountered. There are three solutions I recommend looking into. First, the open source dictation bridge for use with NVDA or JAWS, or for JAWS only, JSay and JDictate from Harcum Consulting.
HeartGen.
Oh, sorry, HeartGen. I hope that helps. For the listener looking for an easy way to turn on the accessibility of their Sony Android TV, according to manuals on the web, if you turn on the accessibility shortcut feature in Settings, the Android shortcut of holding down both volume buttons for 3 seconds toggles accessibility off and on. And Greg's final point is for you, Stephen. Why does the email jingle feature a doorbell? That's from Greg in Pennsylvania.
Yes, Stephen, why?
Yes, yeah, Stephen.
I don't know. Some producer came up with it. Probably Chris's fault. I don't know.
Bad Chris.
Me.
Do you honestly think I take time to worry about this kind of stuff? Right. What else?
Okay, this next one is from Shafiq, following on from similar line of advice from Greg. He says, hello, Captain Scott and your tech talkers. A solution to Nadia's issue concerning problems she experiences with use of Dragon Dictate could be found in JSay. This software is being developed by Brian HeartGen, as Stephen said, the founder of HeartGen Consultancy, who is blind himself. This is a very user-friendly piece of software which acts as a bridge between JAWS for Windows and Dragon Naturally Speaking. Since Nadia is an author, the use of JSay with JAWS for Windows could improve her productivity quite drastically. In my opinion, it is easy for a blind individual to experience break in their thought when writing for long periods. Therefore, JSay would go a long way to resolving her problems. I am a JSay user myself and very happy with its performance. She could contact Brian directly at HeartGen Consultancy on 02920-850-298. John, who has developed programs with his vision in recent past, could try Windows Bridge with NVDA. I've not tried this myself, but heard it's quite good. This is a cost-free solution. Best regards to all your listeners. Shafiq Ahmed from Wolsey in the West Midlands.
Well, that sounds like a good option. I mean, that's Greg and Shafiq there both saying that JSay might be your answer. Nadia, can you give us that number again, just a bit slower for Nadia here, so she can take this down for the HeartGen Consultancy, that number that you gave?
Absolutely. So it's 02920-850-298.
Wow.
I've heard great things from HeartGen Consulting as well, so I'd definitely give that a try. I would say, I'm not sure that is specifically the problem she's having, though. The the contextual problem is the main issue. And she doesn't seem to have a problem, you know, using it with her screen reader or the recognition of her words. So I'm not sure how much help they would be, but it's definitely worth a look. There, you know, if it's not working now, then this may be an answer.
So negative.
No, I just don't want to point her in the wrong direction, that's all. I'm not sure if there is an answer to the contextual problem other than having to spell out any word you think there would be a problem. I know you can just spell it out in Dragon.
It's got to be the version. It must be the version. It must be. If it's an old version, you know, the difference is going to be huge in today's version than it was. But the problem is, it all comes down to cost. That's the issue.
Well, surely you could try it out before. You know, I know she needs Windows 10 as well. Yeah, still a bit of cost involved, isn't there?
Yeah, listen, you could just donate your Windows 10 laptop to Nadia. That would be
of course I could. Yes, or you could. Excellent. In fact,
no, I can't, but you could.
I'll see what I can do.
Right, let's get to some other emails.
Absolutely, and hooray for other topics now, as we get an email from Kelvin, who says, "Hi, Steve and the gang. I use the Eurosport Player app on my iPhone to watch the TV coverage of the professional cycling races. On the 26th of August, iOS users were forced to install a critical update that has ruined accessibility. Basically, the text that shows the program title now is spoken by VoiceOver as date label, title label, and article label. This issue extends from the live programs on the schedule tab to the historical programs on the on-demand tab. I reported the issue a couple of weeks ago, and after the initial generic responses, my report has apparently been passed to the development team. I don't imagine I'm the only blind person using the Eurosport Player on iOS, so perhaps you can let others know. Hopefully the problem can be fixed, and it goes to show that the long-term accessibility we often now take for granted can be broken by an unaware developer in an instant. Apart from the obvious inconvenience of not being able to use a service I have paid for, the amount of effort involved in finding relevant contact details and then trying to explain about accessibility is very, very tiresome. Are you aware of a web source we can direct contact centres to that very simply explains the app accessibility issues required by blind customers and the importance of the development team's role?" And that's best wishes from Kelvin Marsh.
Well, you know, I just despair when I hear that, because it's that thing again of, you know, we've got an accessible app, it's wonderful, it's all working great, and then one update, and then for whatever reason something changes and it just throws us all out. We heard from Gordon Anthony last week. He was talking to us about the Sky app, Sky Q app, and he was having real problems with that because one of the buttons had been labelled fast forward for the menu. So you're not going to double tap on that, are you? You know, you're wondering what that is. So it's just, I despair with this kind of thing, if I'm honest.
The best thing you can do is do exactly what's been done, is email the development team. You do always want to make sure to tell them, you know, which phone you're using, which version of iOS you're using, and explain the problems. I think there are, on applevis.com, I believe there are some articles I've seen in the past where they do spell out, here's some things that you could say to developers to help them understand, you know, the contextual problems that you're having as far as buttons or labeling, things like that. But really, it's just a matter of saying, here's the phone I have, here's the version I have, here's the trouble I'm having, here's what it did before, here, you know, here's what it's doing now, and just explain that in an email. And the more people that email, I've always found that developers, for the most part, aren't too bad at getting these things fixed if they were, you know, if they were okay before. I mean, you might find a random developer that just doesn't care, doesn't understand. But for the most part, developers want you to be able to use their app, you know, so they're going to try to make these accessible. So, yeah, just do your best to write those emails out, and as many people that can send in one should, and hopefully it'll get fixed.
Don't let it drop. That's a secret. You keep on at them.
Yes.
And I find what's often best is just to record the audio. Now, it's easy for me to say because it's quite easy for me to do. But if you can record the, you know, the problem as you're flicking through and it's saying those temporary labels that someone's left in, for the buttons, if you can record that and send that as an attachment or tweet it at them, it seems that they understand that far more. As long as you make it clear, look, the problem is that the developer hasn't labelled these buttons. That's all they really need to know.
But as Tim says, and I think this is a really important piece of advice, give them as much information about your device, about what software it's running, because that is really important for a developer. I have heard developers say, it's all very well sending in saying there's a problem, and maybe even detailing what the problem is, but, you know, there are so many devices that their apps are on. You know, so is it an Apple TV? Is it an Amazon Fire Stick? Is it a, yeah, an iPad is, because they're all different, you know, even the iPhone and the iPad have different apps because of the way they operate. So, you know, you have to be very clear. And you obviously are. I mean, you, in your case, you know, Kelvin, you are being very clear. But it's so important that you give that information over. And hopefully, you know, now your email's been escalated, that will get you some results. The problem is, as we've noticed, is that small app developers tend to resolve their problems very quickly.
Yeah.
However, the big guys, you know, they're usually bringing in agencies to do these things. They're not always doing it themselves. And it is difficult. You know, I remember sitting down and it's an interview that's coming up soon on Tech Talk all about the accessibility of the BBC iPlayer and, you know, the complicated nature of how that works. Even though a lot of the work is done in-house, it is so complicated because there are so many different elements to it, so many different devices that it appears on, that one major change could have an impact on a blind person, but that could take months to undo because of the time it would take to go back around and fix it. So I'm not saying that's an excuse. It's not. But, you know, it is about educating app developers as much as possible. And that means the next time the app comes around, it might be in their mind. Okay. Good luck with it, though, Kelvin. What else?
Well, speaking of educating things, Stephen, Brian wants to educate you. Oh. He says, just a quickie, before you dismiss the new iPhone, I'm not an Apple fan, but I have used Samsung for years because they use OLED screens. I can't see any screens now except for OLEDs. Try before you make a decision. Keep up the good work. Best regards from Brian. P.S. It is so obvious that Tim's day job is the voice of Kermit.
Wow.
The voice of Kermit. Okay, of all the voices I've done in the show, I don't know that I've done my Kermit
voice,
have I? I'm with
him. I know what he's saying. I hear
I
it.
I think that. I get that. Yeah, I can hear that.
Hey-ho, Kermit the Frog here.
Any excuse to do an impression.
Don't try it. Don't try. Just be you, Kermit.
Just be me? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Don't overthink your role here. No. I get that. Okay, well, that's interesting because what was the guy's name there?
Brian.
So Brian, I was saying earlier, and you will have heard this by now, that I got an iPhone XS with the OLED screen.
You didn't even try before you buy.
I didn't even try. But that's interesting. That's really interesting that email comes in because what is that? Is it because of, like I was saying earlier, I'm having problems with the darkness of the screen? Maybe it's that. But I did think maybe just having the brighter screen is a good thing. I shall certainly report back, Brian, and tell you what I think.
It's a 1,000,000-to-1 contrast ratio on the OLED screens. That's, for anyone that doesn't know, that's organic light-emitting diodes. They light up on their own. The LCD needs a backlight. The OLED screen doesn't need a backlight. The individual pixels emit their own light. So that's why it's
truly
black.
This is not geek talk. Right, stop talking.
I had to get
priests.
It out, sorry.
Right, that's boring stuff. That's what the, well, that's what the guys on the Geeky podcast do. We're not them. Right. What else is on the email list?
Well, Rachel's been in touch as well. She says, hello, team. I hope you're all well.
Yeah.
In view of the fact that iOS 12 will be available for us very soon and that Apple have just released 3 new iPhones, I have to say I'm a bit confused by everything I've been hearing of late. I'm not on any sort of contract, so if I were to upgrade, a new phone won't come cheap. I've had my SE since May 2016, and I love its smaller design, relying solely on VoiceOver, and the screen's visual appearance isn't something I'm worried about. According to the info in settings, there are no issues with the battery. With this in mind, do you think my phone will cope okay with the upgrade to iOS 12, or would I be better off considering an upgrade to a newer device? I always get slightly nervous when it comes to these major updates, and I would really appreciate hearing your thoughts before I go ahead and install iOS 12 on the SE. Many thanks in advance. Keep up the fantastic work. Take care. Rachel.
Well, thank you, Rachel. I am going to now hand over to Sean Preece, our resident geek in the house, because, you know, this is, a subject which appeals to you.
Oh, now I can speak. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Oh, only for a minute.
Yes, the SE has the same innards near enough as the iPhone 6S. And as I said previously, I'm not going to upgrade. The 6S performance for me is fine. I don't feel like it's slow or laggy. I've still got the home button. I've still got a headphone jack. So the SE with iOS 12 will be fine. iOS 12 will make it actually a little bit faster. You will notice that performance gain. So if you're happy with the SE as it is currently, then no, I don't see any reason to update. I'm going to wait another year and see what happens. So stick with it. If you like it, you're not going to have any problems.
Now, Tim, you are thinking about upgrading. You said the iPhone 8, though, not the XR, although you're kind of still deciding. But, you know, the phone you've got is what? And would you, after iOS 12, maybe reconsider that?
Well, and that's the sticking point for me, because I've been saying all along, even knowing there was new phones coming, that if I just upgraded the battery in my iPhone 7, because I am in the 70% area with my battery and it's getting a bit sluggish. However, with iOS 12, it has completely, you know, enhanced the speed and overall usage of my iPhone 7. So if I did just upgrade the battery of the 7, I probably could get another year out of, I could easily get another year out of the iPhone 7, just like Sean said, with the 6S or the SE. So there is that sticking point that I could very easily stay with the 7, especially with the updates of iOS 12. But boy, the 8 or the 10 are appealing enough to me that I am interested in upgrading. So if I don't upgrade at all, I don't think I'll be upset about it, because the battery upgrade and the iOS 12 enhancements together on my iPhone 7 will be, I think, just fine. It's just more, you know, that tech geek in me wanting, you know, the new phone. So it is something that I'm struggling with, and making that decision between what, you know, what should I do with them.
You know, there is a rumour kicking around. It's a bit of a nasty rumour, if I'm honest, that I apparently know something about technology. It is a terrible rumour. It's clearly lies.
Fake news.
Yeah, exactly. but I am with you on this, Tim. I don't really need to upgrade, if I'm being honest. I don't need the upgrade, but I kind of just want the upgrade. So I'm doing it out of a want than a need, and that's okay, because that's life. That's how consumerism kind of works.
Yeah, exactly.
But from your point of view, Rachel, I think if you've got an SE and you're happy with it, and I have to say, I call the SE the BE, as in blind edition, because a lot of blind people seem to like this phone. I totally understand why. It's a beautiful little phone. It does the job fine. The problem for me has been it's a bit sluggish. Now, you might notice that as well, Rachel. But I have to say, if I hadn't downloaded the beta of iOS 12 during the beta process, I would, and I've downloaded it to my iPhone 6 Plus, which is essentially older than the phone you've got,
yeah,
Rachel. You know, and same for you, Sean, because you've got the 6S, and with the SE being the 6S in a different size, I have noticed such a difference. I mean, like, ridiculous difference in this phone. This phone has gone from being unusable, and I use it with VoiceOver, slow, sluggish, non-responsive, you know, you're swiping like crazy. It's like using an Android. I'm only kidding.
How quickly it changes.
I know. But honestly, using that phone with VoiceOver now, with the iOS 12 beta that was running on it, it is just so much better. And I think you're going to find a big difference with this. So when you download iOS 12, which I strongly encourage you do, although in saying that, you know, I'm always aware that every year I say,
Give it a week,
yeah, just in case there's any bugs or problems that need ironed out.
There hasn't
give
been
it a week
so
or two.
Far in the betas. I'm using it on my main driver and it's absolutely fine. No voiceover problems, stable, great.
Yep, me too.
I'm the same, very little. In fact, I would say voiceover's been better than on my 7 Plus.
Yeah.
That's unusual.
But who knows, until the official release, I would wait until everyone else has installed it.
Keep an eye on the channels and the various places on Twitter, especially if you follow Rachel, where people are, you know, using this. We'll certainly give you reviews, and of course our lovely audience will always be in touch to say, right, don't do this because, you know, and then we'll go from there. But no, I think it's certainly something you should consider, but maybe in a week or so's time. Good luck with it, Rachel. We've got one more.
Yes, final email from Billy Burrell, who says, "Hi, Stephen, Sean, Tim, and Chris." Oh, I've made it.
Oh, no.
You've become part of the team.
Hallelujah. Officially. You're not getting any money.
All right, okay. Just a quick email to ask a question about Twitter. I've recently opened an account, and I had heard a while back that there was an addition made to it which describes pictures and photos to anyone with a visual impairment wishing to use it. Do you know if I have to go into settings somewhere to enable this function, or does it automatically describe any images shown? I can't say that I have heard many descriptions so far, so wondered if I was missing something. Keep up the good work. Best regards, Billy Burrell. P.S.
I was in my local park recently with my friend and his guide dog. We were walking around the boating lake when a woman approached us and said, "Oh, that's a beautiful dog. What type is it?" "It isn't any particular kind," replied my friend. "It was interbred." Just then a duck climbed out of the water, waddled over to us and said, "Here, mate, I'll tell you who else is interbred."
Oh, dear. That is the height of it on this show. That is it. You know, if you're listening right now and you're thinking, have I heard the best moment ever on Tech Talk? Yeah, that was it.
Thanks, Billy.
Wow. Thanks, Billy.
Thanks, yeah. Billy.
I've actually now forgotten what Billy said in the original part of that email because I was so stunned by that joke.
Captioning graphics on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Right.
You will want to go into the settings and then accessibility. I don't remember the exact string off the top of my head, but yes, there is a setting that you'll have to turn on for describing graphics or captioning, I believe it says, captioning graphics. Once you've turned that on, then yes, you will have graphics or images described to you as long as someone else has turned that on and written an actual description. That's the key thing here. So it is not on by default. You do have to turn it on, number one, to hear a description if someone has captioned something, as well as to be able to caption. So once you've turned it on, it just basically adds another box when you do add an image to a tweet, and you can then fill in that box with a description. So it is reliant on other people actually turning it on themselves and filling out a description. But as long as that's been done, then yeah, it works really nicely. I wish, I've been on this for months, that I wish it would be on by default, and I wish it wasn't buried in the accessibility
yeah,
settings,
ridiculous.
Because it is two or three steps down in the accessibility settings, so you do have to kind of dig for it. It really should be on by default, in my opinion, and should be much easier to find.
Well, the good news is that we have a guide on the Tech Talk Twitter feed. I'll actually bump it up to the top so you can find it, Billy, and so everyone else can check it out as well. And it's actually for blind people it's been designed for, because a lot of this information was held out for sighted people to say, you know, do this for blind people. But, you know, we might want to do it for ourselves as well as actually reading the descriptions, writing the descriptions. So we'll bump that up so you can do that. That's it for today. Chris, thank you once again.
Thank you. I look forward to more tech talking next week.
It is incredible amount of emails we get, isn't it?
I know.
but thank you so much to everybody who's taken the time to write in. It means a lot to us. Thank you for everybody who's been helping out Nadia as well, because we want to get a solution for you, Nadia. Do tell us how you got on, though. Want to continue this conversation and see how we got on. Sean and Tim, as always, thank you guys for being here and, doing whatever it is you do.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Catch you next time on Tech Talk. Don't forget the podcast. You'll get it in all the places you get great podcasts, even the bad ones. You'll find us there. Search for RNIB Tech Talk. We'll catch you next time right here, either on air or on the podcast. Bye.